I've modified what the children's lesson is for children's church for all of us today. And just as I do that, it's taken me hours to prepare this. So I just want to really thank and let's put a hand together for all the people who are involved in children's church, because I know it's a big lot of work you have to do to prepare. So let's give a round of applause for everyone who helps there. I don't know whether it was for better or for worse, but the lesson today is on Romans 5 and 6. In fact, the whole of Romans. Romans 5 is one of the most difficult passages in the whole Bible. I think more books have been written on Romans 5 than any other chapter in the New Testament. So I'm not sure whether it was good that I got to do it or not. So what are the kids learning in children's church? Well, they've been learning how the mission began. Jesus was promised. He finally came into the world and then he ascended up into heaven. But he gave the church a mission. And to start that mission, to begin it, he gave the Holy Spirit to fill us. And that first happened on the day of Pentecost. And then many times since, the Spirit of God has been poured out upon his church. And secondly, he, by the Spirit, empowers us. And so the children learnt about an amazing miracle that Peter did as he met a lame man at the beautiful gate and the entrance to Jerusalem. And they also learnt in one of the weeks how the Holy Spirit came to help the church to be faithful in hard times. And the young church was often going through very difficult times, but the Holy Spirit can help them to do that. And the Holy Spirit also came to help us to live like Jesus. And I was actually in that lesson, and Mrs. Corley did the lesson on 2 Peter chapter 1 when we were learning about 2 Peter chapter 1 here in the main church. That was really good. And they've now moved on to the next section, which is about the early church and what it was like. And the first thing they learned was how the church helped each other. And so people who were in need and who lost their jobs because they were following Jesus, others sold extra possessions and lands and gave it to them. But something really bad happened, didn't they? Do you remember that? Ananias and Sapphira lied to God and lied to the church about how much they were giving. The amazing thing is that I was still giving a lot. But God judged them through Peter, and they both died because they lied to God. So that was a very scary story. And then we learned how the church was persecuted. And so last week, we learned how a man called Stephen, although he was a wonderful believer and wasn't doing anyone any harm, but loving them and serving them, he was opposed by people, and the Jews got angry with him and wanted to kill him. And so Peter told them about how they were always rebelling against God and persecuting his followers and killing his prophets and rejecting him. And so as a result, he was stoned. But as he was dying, remember what he prayed, kids? What did he do? Before he died, he prayed that God would not hold that sin against the people who stoned him. And so he showed the love of Jesus, and he saw Jesus opened up in heaven as he was dying. Now, today's lesson is on the good news of Jesus. The good news is often, we use the word the gospel. And the good news about Jesus was something which the early church wanted everybody to hear. They told everybody they could who would be willing to listen about how Jesus has come into the world and how great that is and how wonderful. They told them how he lived. How he lived a perfect, sinless life. They told about his amazing miracles, how he walked on water, how he fed a multitude with just a couple of loaves and a few fish, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and how he did just amazing teaching and told people about God. And then they told how Jesus died on the cross and how he was buried and laid in a tomb. And how he, on the third day, he rose again from the dead and appeared to many, many people, up to 500 at one time, and said, go and tell the good news of what I've done for them to everybody in the world. And he said, I'm going up to be with God in heaven for a while, but I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'm going to bring eternal salvation to those who have believed and judgment for those who have rejected. So go and tell them all the good news about me. And so that's what they did. They told others, because Jesus coming into the world is such great news. It changes everything. Now, one of the things the early church did was, because it was such good news and it was so important, they made sure they wrote it down. Now, one of the people who was present when Stephen was stoned and even helping them was a man called Saul. He became a Christian and changed his name to Paul, which means little, because he was really short, like that big. He was called a 3-cubit man, which is 4.5 feet, but I think he was probably a little bit bigger than that, but he wasn't very big. And so they called him Paul, but he was a great man of God and very smart. And so he wrote down for the early Christians about the good news so that we would not get it mixed up. And so he wrote a letter. One of the letters he wrote to the church in Rome. And the church of Rome were really happy to get this letter, and they were so pleased. They said, everyone's got to get a copy of this letter. And so they wrote lots and lots of copies, and that's why we now have the book of Romans, or the letter that Paul wrote to explain the gospel, in our Bibles. And it's probably the most important book in the whole Bible. And that's saying something, because the Bible is so, so very important. But it explains the gospel very, very clearly. Now, we've already done that. Now, in that letter, what Paul did to explain the gospel was that there were two people in the history of the world who are the most important two people, above even you or Graham. Or even me, far, far, far more important than any of us. Two people. Who were they? Adam and Jesus. There's no two people in the world more important than Adam and Jesus. Adam, because he brought in the bad news. Jesus, because he brought in even better good news. And so we want to understand the gospel by understanding what these two men did, and to really understand it. And Paul wrote and explained that in the letter to the Romans. Now, to help us do that, once I explain it, we're going to get all of the kids. There may be a couple of extras for the adults, but we're going to make up a name tag or a key ring, which you can put on your bag, and it'll help you to remember what I'm going to explain now and what Paul wrote about Adam and Jesus. So we're going to do that in a little while. Just I'll explain what Paul wrote first, and then we'll do that craft together as we learn it. Now, the first thing we need to know about the bad news about Adam is that Adam started off in a good world. God made the world very good. In it was absolute perfection. Everything was wonderful. There was no sin, no people lying or cheating or fighting. Even the animals were all peaceful and good. And there was no death in the world. Everything was perfect. There was a big, beautiful world. But God then put man in this beautiful world, and he placed him in a perfect garden. He planted it, so he already had food, and he asked Adam to look after that garden and to care for it. There was only one thing that needed. Adam was perfect, and he had all this great work, which he really enjoyed, because there was no bad in the world. There was no weeds and nothing to mess up his garden. And so he was in perfect. He just needed a companion, a woman. And so God made him a woman. And, well, hey, you don't get much better than that. That just finishes it off absolutely perfectly. Now you had Adam and Eve, and they could have lots of children, who had children, who had two children, who had children, who had children, who had us. And so we're all Adam and Eve's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But Satan rebelled against God. He didn't like God's plan for man. And so he came and he tricked Eve into eating the forbidden fruit. But God said, if you eat this, the world won't just be good. Evil will also come in the world. Evil, bad things will come and you will die. So don't eat that. Anything else you can do. But Satan tricked Eve and she ate it. And then she offered this fruit to Adam. And Adam had a choice. He could do what Eve suggested, or he could do what God said and not eat the fruit. And he chose to do what he shouldn't do and disregarded God's command, and he sinned. And as a result, he chose for himself and for Eve and the world they lived in, and for you and me, to live in a world where there's sin and death and shame. And as soon as they ate that fruit, suddenly they felt really scared. They felt scared of God, and they felt shame, and they felt sorry, and they suddenly started not liking even each other. And so they hid. And God came and he said, I've warned you. Now evil's come into the world. Now you've got sin in the world, you've got evil in the world, and you've got sin even in your hearts, and that's going to bring death and trouble and war and problems into this whole world. Paul wrote about what Adam did in the book of Romans, in this letter he wrote to the Christians in Rome. He said, sin entered the world through one man, his name was Adam, and death through sin. God was not going now to keep everything perfect now. Things would fall apart and rot and get bad, and people and societies would sin would go, and our even our bodies would have all sorts of problems come in, and God was not going to fix everything up and keep everything perfect. Now in our little things we're going to make, we've got a black bead which represents that Adam brought sin and death and evil and even sin into our own hearts to make them black. The bad news, Paul wrote, was that through this one man's sin and death and judgment came into the world. And so he summed it up in his letter. He said, everyone is under the power of sin. Every one of us. All have sinned and fall short of God's standards. And the payment for that sin is death and judgment. But the really wonderful thing is that's the world we live in. We should all experience the bad things as a result of Adam. But the great news is that God has sent Jesus into the world, and he is better good news than Adam is bad news. His goodness is more powerful than Adam's badness. Paul wrote that Jesus shed his red blood. And so on our key rings or name tags, we're going to have a red bead to symbolise that red blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Jesus gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins. If we put our faith in Jesus and we really believe that we are sinners and we really believe that he died to pay for them. And so Paul wrote in this in a wonderful verse. I think everybody should know this verse. God showed how much he loved us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Even before I was born, Jesus had already been sent by God, and Jesus had already decided to give his life on the cross for me. And he had done the same for you. Paul wrote, if we have faith in Jesus, God forgives us and says our guilt is gone and we have peace with God. We can be his friends instead of hiding and running from him. Jesus, we're told he takes our hearts, if we believe in him, which are black from sin, and he makes them clean, nice and white. He makes us right in his sight, and he makes us as if we've never sinned. And in Romans 5:1, Paul explained that. Paul wrote, we should never, ever, ever, the world laughs at Jesus and God sometimes, but we should never be ashamed of the good news, because it's God's power to save everyone who believes. It seems quite amazing, but by Jesus' death on the cross, he has power to save us. Jesus came so we can receive, so that we can receive the gift of being right with God and living forever with him. Even if we die, he will keep us with him, and he'll give us a new body when he comes back. So there's bad news and good news. The bad news is Adam. Because of Adam, sin and sickness and decay and the curse and death and trouble and war and fighting and jealousy and greed and annoying people and bad people, all of those things as a result of Adam's sin. That's the bad news. And we all experience the bad news all the time. You know, some people say, I don't believe in God because of bad news. Well, the Bible tells us all about the bad news. But it also tells us about God's love and the good news in Jesus, who brings grace, life. He cleans us. He forgives us. He gives us peace. And one day Jesus will bring everything right again. So the question I've asked for each of us, all the kids and the adults, is your heart still black from sin? Are you still just like a child of Adam, under the curse? Lots of bad news, but no hope, no cleanness of heart, no peace with God? Or have you had Jesus told to you? Has the good news been shared with you? And have you believed in it and put your trust in Jesus, that he died on the cross for you and rose again, and he's alive so that he can be your King and your Lord? Now, some people mess up the good news, and they think, oh, does that mean if Jesus forgives me, I can just keep doing sin and he's just going to keep forgiving everything? Well, it's sort of true, but it's not the end. Paul wrote, should we continue on keeping on sin so that God can just forgive us more and more? He said, no, we don't do that. Jesus died and was buried for us to get rid of our sin, to bury it and get rid of it forever, and to get a new life so that we can live in a way which pleases God rather than a way that angers God. Jesus, Paul said, rose again so he could be our King and we could live completely for God and become like Jesus. So Jesus, when we become a believer, when we believe in him, he comes by his Spirit and he lives in our heart. And he helps us to grow and grow, which is why we've got a couple of green ones. Jesus just doesn't say, okay, well, you're forgiven. He comes inside and he helps us to grow. And he's given us the Bible and he gives us the church and he gives us lots of people. And his Spirit constantly talks and shares and encourages us so we would grow and grow to be more like Jesus. And then one day when Jesus returns, he will come and he will make the world perfect again. He will give us bodies, new bodies, that will never die, never grow old, never get sick, and live with him forever. I've written a modified a little poem to help us remember. Okay, so God made the world and he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and then we've got the next ones. My heart was dark with sin, until the Saviour came in. His precious blood I know has washed me white as snow. To grow in Christ every day, I read my Bible and pray. I'll grow in knowledge and grace until I see his face. When in God's word I'm told, I'll walk on streets of gold. Okay, there may be people here, maybe some of the kids have never really made sure that you're a follower of Jesus. Now, I know a couple of kids have in the past, but maybe you've never really properly prayed a prayer to say, Jesus, I realise there's a dark world and that darkness even touches my own heart with sin. But I want to hear and live out the good news of Jesus. I want to give my life to him so that I can follow him and live forever with him. And so if you'd like to do that, if you, as I've explained the gospel, you want to make Jesus your Lord and Saviour today, you can do it today. Here's a little prayer we can pray. So let's read it together. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sins and ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and be my ruler of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Saviour and to follow him as my Lord. From today onward, amen. Okay, now if you really, really meant that prayer and you choose to follow today, then Jesus gives you eternal life. He forgives you and you can pray and walk with God for the rest of your life, growing more and more like Jesus as he helps you to go through the world. Sometimes it's very good, but other times it can be very dark. But Jesus will help you to be more like Jesus every day, and he will make sure that at the end you get a perfect body living in a perfect world to live with Jesus forever.